Hello, I'm Michael Heyman, and you're listening to Changemakers. Now, it's been wisely said that journeys are the midwives of thought. But in recent times, our yearning to get away from it all has been seriously curtailed. But for my guest today, the dream lives on. Not least because The Great Escape and The Romance of Travel have been the pillars of her business, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I'm joined today by the CEO and co-founder, Tamara Lorne. Tamara, welcome to Changemakers. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Listen, I mean, we want to talk about getting away from it all. This is a time where I'm sure more of us would like to do that. I really would like to start with that idea about travel in this sort of time of trouble, I suppose, in terms of we can't do as much of it. It's such an important part of who we are and what we're about. Tell us about 2020 from the perspective of someone who loves travel, loves movement, loves getting away from it all.
Oh, wow. So let's start back in January. I think I had 10 trips planned ahead of me this year, for everywhere, to the Far East, to LA, to visit our office in LA, to New York, to do a launch party. I mean, the diary ahead of me was just full of stuff to look forward to plan ahead, and to just to roam with the kids, without the kids. There was just a bit of everything and variety. And then obviously, you know, COVID happened and everything just stopped. And I think, you know, as a travel company, what was so devastating was just seeing all that forward bookings, all the forward planning just wash away. And so it's not just about, think about it as a different business. We'll talk about travel, but as a business, you know, if you have to shut your doors, you then don't get any new customers. For travel, it was an unwinding of all the business we had done in the last 4 to 6 months, because obviously people plan ahead.
So frightening, I'd imagine.
Very frightening, yeah.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously, you know, travel and the hotel sector, I mean, the story is now well told about just how much trouble there is in that sector. You have evolved the business, kept it going. What have you learned about yourself in a very troubling year?
Well, the word that's bandied around a lot is resilience. And what's incredible is, you know, how the team at Mr. and Mrs. Smith have been able to move quickly. And I think moving quickly and decisively has been absolutely key in all of this. And their ability to just take on change, I think, you know, we underestimated our ability to do that. You know, in the past, if you made any change in the business, you'd kind of plan it out and do it slowly and take people on this journey. We didn't have time for that. It all had to happen at once. And the ability of the team to just take that on board and run with it and make the best of it is something, you know, incredible.
You mentioned your team there. And actually, in the lockdown list, you've mentioned that the team as your inspiration. In terms of the ability to get through, what have they done? What have you worked together on to, I guess, reinvent the business?
Well, I mean, the whole plan has been, the business has been re-strategized. The teams brought together, working in completely different ways. We've gone fully distributed. So I think, you know, a lot of businesses are thinking differently about office space, but a lot of them are still keeping some kind of office. We've gone fully distributed, fully global, and no offices around the world. And so it's, you know, it's that ability to stay. Our war room daily sessions are funny. You know, we laugh a lot in the face of adversity. We come together, we plan. They're not afraid to challenge me. They're not afraid to challenge each other. And that's what makes it an incredible team, I think. They've seen me through it.
They've seen you through it. And I suppose that speaks to the internal business culture and being innovative and resilient. When you look at the role of travel, you published a report last year which talked about the transformative 20s. I mean, I bet you didn't think it would be as transformative as this, but I mean, it's sort of, in terms of our relationship with travel, thinking about what the pandemic has done to that? I mean, lots of people are talking about this as the moment of the great reset to think again. And I noticed that you've been watching David Attenborough's Life on Our Planet, and really that whole manifesto for change. How does that affect a business that's about, you know, the luxurious things in life, the getting away, the air miles, the, all of the sorts of things that I suppose are up for a bit of a rethink in a year where so much is changing? How does that affect you and your thoughts about what comes next?
So I do feel that the themes that came out in that report back in January were about deceleration, slowing down, getting away from the daily grind. The other theme was, you know, disconnection. I mean, these themes that came out have essentially been accelerated at 1,000 knots. And so I think we were heading in that direction anyway, and it's not a bad thing. People will travel, and travel is very necessary in this world. It's necessary because it sustains the economies of so, you know, and livelihoods of so many people around the world. I mean, it's just, it's not feasible to think of a world without travel, because also that opens our minds to different cultures and communication, and communication is, you know, the key. But I think we can learn from this to travel in a better way, in a way that is kinder to the planet and kinder to ourselves as well. So I think that, you know, we talk about fast fashion, the fast travel, right? I'm going to jump on a plane, go to New York for a meeting and come back. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Now, that's interesting. Because actually, I mean, I was reading here that, you know, because I know you are an optimistic person by nature, because I've known you for a number of years. And but I read here that you talked about that we'll come back in a more thoughtful way, more considered, conscientious and kind. Thoughtful, considered, conscientious and kind. Is that the playbook, do you think, for the future?
I sincerely hope so. That is certainly the way that we're going. We've teamed up with two incredible organisations, the Blue Marine Foundation and the World Land Trust. So we're going for land and sea, and it's all about protection. Rather than just, you know, giving money to offset your carbon and planting more trees, actually the most important thing is to protect what we have already. Because if we cut down those ancient forests and rainforests, that does more damage than, you know, not planting several trees. So that protection is really key. And it's key to our understanding of the world that we get to understand these places, travel to them, communicate with people who live there, understand the biodiversity of our planet. I mean, it's just, it's so critical.
So it's a more mindful relationship. I mean, I suppose this then goes back to things you were talking about last year. I mean, the future of romantic travel. I mean, mindfulness is a form of romance, isn't it? It's a form of connection. It's a form of being aware. I mean, do you think we'd lost sight of that somehow in the run up to this year?
I do. But we were, I think we were already on the path of that reconnection. People were becoming aware that it was just too much, that people were going to places just for that Instagrammable picture. And there were lots of signs that reconnecting our romance with the planet and with nature was starting to happen already. And I'm just so pleased that it's accelerating now.
I mean, well, let's go back to the original Great Escape, the Great Escape for Tomorrow, 2003. The original Mr. and Mrs. Smith guidebook comes out. Now, I remember this because I hadn't actually met you then, but I remember going into Borders on Oxford Street and seeing this phenomenal book with a hotel, a DB5 Aston Martin in the driveway. And it was kind of like, be your own James Bond. And here was this completely different guidebook. Take us back to that. In 6 weeks, I think you sold over 10,000 copies, almost 100,000 of that first edition. I mean, it was the phenomena of that year.
Yes. I mean, that Christmas, we were told we would sell 5,000 copies of that book in its lifetime. And we saw, as you say, you know, we sold 10,000 in 6 weeks. Just before Christmas, we had to reprint. I mean, nobody could, you know, nobody had predicted it. We outsold Harry Potter in one store in London on one day.
that really is magic.
Yeah. And I think it just captured, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is that throwback to a post-war era where people started to travel again and be in hotels, but it was still frowned upon to be outside of wedlock. And so Mr. and Mrs. Smith was anyone who kind of just wanted to be with someone, even if they were planning on marrying them, you know, later. It was that we're not allowed to talk about sex because we're British. but it was all behind closed doors. And yes, the book, the front cover, it was the first time a travel guide had not put a picture of a beach on the front cover of a book. It was a closed door, slightly ajar, actually. You could just tell that there was a bed behind it. It was very alluring. You wanted to go open that door and see what was behind. So it was all about, you know, what happens around closed doors. I guess what we were saying is you go away to these hotels to be with the people you love.
And I suppose, yeah, you do. And I suppose it spoke to the experience that, you know, you wanted to go to these cool places and see things. I mean, do you think, I mean, just bringing it back to today, I mean, you know, you started as a business that looked at these phenomenal places around the UK. And then, of course, you become a much more global business. But do you think in this year, in this country, that we have, you know, we've restarted the love affair with what's great about everything that's around us? I mean, because more of us are having to holiday at home and, you know, go much more locally. I mean, has it worked in terms of the experience of the business?
Yes. I mean, the UK hotels have been incredible throughout this journey with us as well and with customers, making sure that we amend every single booking that has to be cancelled, refunded where the customers wanted it. You know, they have been incredible. And from the very beginning, the hotels that we wanted to work with in that very first book, which was just UK, so we went back to our heartland this year where it was really only domestic travel. We were trying to find places that, as you say, really cared about the experience that you have in that hotel, that really had a sense of place, that weren't cookie cutter, that cared about their environment, their community, where you went there and the hotel itself was almost the destination because of what it was doing. And it's that caring attitude. I think when you've got hoteliers that are there and really put all into the experience that you as a customer have once you walk through that door, they're naturally people who are going to care.
I mean, we spoke about just before we started recording about that so much about travel is the anticipation of travel. Do you think that the anticipation, I mean, obviously a lot of people thought, oh, I've got to stay at home, I've got to go local, but do you think we've actually found some magic on our doorstep, if you like, in terms of rediscovering what a cool country this can be and actually how beautiful it can be. And actually thinking again, I guess, about the place that we come from.
I do. I do think that people I feel the pent up demand to get out of the country as much as I feel that, you know, people have loved being able to go to fabulous hotels in the UK countryside. And with my family during lockdown, we started driving up the Thames and going wild swimming. And it was just so beautiful. And, you know, bits of the Thames that I'd never really seen before. And so I do think that we, you know, there is a lot to discover and love here in the UK. But I do feel that pent up demand as well to roam freer than the island that we live on.
Well, I mean, and so I suppose it's going to be the balance, I suppose, is a lot of what you're saying. I mean, let's go back to those early days, though, because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs will often talk about that they bet the house on the business. And you quite literally did that because you and your husband, James, who you co-founded the business with, you remortgaged your home to build the business. I mean, it's an extraordinary tale of a hobby that turned into a major business. Take us back to the motivations, the kind of the hopes, the fears of that time in terms of why do it?
So we were constantly getting frustrated. So we knew that there were these hotels out there. And when we had the idea, originally, we didn't want to do the work. We wanted to give it to a publisher. We had the idea, we said, look, we'll give it to a publisher. We've got jobs already. Let's just take a royalty every time a book is sold, you know, and they can do all the hard work. But the problem was we just got told no at every stage. So when we took the idea, they said, you can't send a photographer around to each hotel. That will blow the budget. You can't put a membership card inside the book. You can't put blue, green, red writing on offset paper. It has to be black on white paper. At every turn we were told we can't do it.
What was your response to that though, in terms of the no? Did that get you thinking, well, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to do it.
Prove them wrong. I think if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, and you know, a lot of entrepreneurship can be taught, right? I'm a true believer in that there could be an entrepreneur in everyone, but there is this spirit of, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to keep going at it. And I'm going to, you know, I won't take no for an answer. That, and naivety as well is a great trait to have when you're starting a business, because if you knew all the problems that were going to come, you might not even start.
Well, you might not even start. So I suppose the naivety, but also I suppose, in your case, you were the ultimate double act in that you founded this business with your husband, James. And actually, I suppose the question is, how did that dynamic work in terms of the two of you as people? I mean, are you both risk takers? Are you both the kind of people that, you know, want to hear yes rather than no? Or are there differences?
I think James is slightly more of a risk taker than I am, but I'm quite determined. So I think it's a good match. And yes, in those early days, I mean, we'd go to our day jobs and then we'd come back and we'd work on Mr. and Mrs. Smith in the evening. In fact, James had a vintage car that had to be driven every day. Otherwise, it would just, you know, start to fall apart and the battery would die and everything. So every evening we'd get in the car and we'd have like our board meetings in the car driving around London. So that's how we started. And it just fell naturally. So we weren't working together every single bit of every day to start with, that kind of grew over time.
But you just mentioned an interesting word there. You said you're very determined. Tell us a little bit about where does that determination come from, do you think? I mean, has that been something that's been with you all of your life? I mean, I'd love to sort of get a sense of the younger Tamara now in terms of what gets you to the entrepreneur. What did you think you were going to be?
Yeah, I was always very independent. Begged to go to boarding school and leave home. I always, you know, begged to travel. Travel is in my DNA.
Why do you think that is? What was the sort of the urge to get away from it, I guess, in terms of or go somewhere new?
I grew up in Ibiza, small island, Paradise Island, as it was back then. And when my parents divorced, my father moved back to the UK, and we started flying from Ibiza to the UK. And I remember being that child with a lanyard around my neck, and these glamorous air hostesses would take me by the hand, and I'd go and into the cockpit and chat to the pilot, and I was transported to another world. And I thought this was just the most incredible thing that could ever happen. And travel has been one of my inspiration and motivations ever since. But I didn't know about jobs in travel.
But I suppose the escapism, as you say, back to the romance of it in terms of seeing this world. I mean, but I also think, you know, your career is very much, I think, one of constant change. I mean, you know, the business began as a book. It moved into being a travel club, to being very much a technology platform. You've gone from being an entrepreneur and a founder to being a chief technology officer, CTO within the business, now to being chief executive. Does that kind of constant need to sort of change and evolve? I mean, is that part of the Tamara story?
Learning, I think, yes, always learning. And potentially I was CTO of the business for 12 years, potentially a little bit too long. I got to the stage where I thought I couldn't bring more to the team. So I replaced myself as CTO. But yes, constantly wanting to improve and learn. I think I've always been like that. I think I probably get it from my mother, who was also very determined. She was an entrepreneur, started a dating agency way back in the 90s, before there were any databases or anything. So her database was a load of paper files racked up in our sitting room. And in the evenings, she would say to me, pull out all the men who are 45 who play tennis in Shropshire. And I would rifle through all that.
so that's interesting. So the dating agency, you finish up coming up with a business which is about modern love and the future of romantic travel. There's a definite line there. And I suppose also having an entrepreneurial parent, when you told your mum that you were going to do this, what's her response? What did she say in terms of, you know, I'm going to remortgage my house, my husband and I are going to form a business, what could possibly go wrong?
She is the most supportive, you know, positive thinking person I know. So she has always just said, just do what makes you happy. She's amazing.
What did you think you were going to do? I mean, obviously, you know, you became a CTO, but it wasn't the sort of the, you know, as if you'd done a computer science degree, worked at Microsoft. I mean, this was a journey for you in terms of getting there. What was the what was your early self thinking about in terms of what you might do?
So, I mean, when I came through university, becoming an entrepreneur was not a thing. It was not something that you were encouraged to do. And the university that I went to encouraged you to go into either banking or consulting, essentially, even with a languages degree. And also I looked out at that time at the potential jobs and companies in travel. So, you know, the big ones, Thomas Cook, TUI, and they didn't inspire me as a young person. And so I never thought about either a career in travel or entrepreneurship. You know, that came much later.
And I mean, you've created a category, I guess, in terms of what you've done. I mean, we worked together on your crowdfunding raise in October 2018, where, you know, you sought to target £1 million worth of investment. You got over six. I mean, in terms of actually capturing the imagination, what do you think people are buying into when they invest like that?
I think they believe in the curation aspect of the business and the trust. So when we first published the first book, the thinking behind it was it had to be like the little black book that you would open up to a friend. It was your trusted friend's guide to the best places. And not only that, all the information like, you know, which room to book, which table in the restaurant to book, you know, what you should wear, what you should take, all those kind of nuggets that you would get from a really good friend.
So the knowledge.
The knowledge and the curation. So our curation standards, there is nobody out there who curates like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You know, we personally go and visit every single hotel, and we don't have a tick box that doesn't have to have stars or diamonds or rosettes. We don't judge a hotel like that. It's all about the experience. So we train our curators to go into a hotel and feel how they feel with all their senses. You know, what is the mood lighting? What can you smell as you walk around the hotel? What do the fabrics feel like? You know, do you get excited? And, you know, when you walk into the bedroom, I want them to feel, and I want every single member to get that excited feeling and want to jump on the bed, because it's that, isn't it? It's when you go away to a hotel and it's like, wow, this is mine for the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, listening to you now, I'm thinking, goodness, it's a wonderful expression, but it also feels like this year has been the undoing of so much of that in terms of our opportunity. I mean, let's come back to that to finish with in terms of, you know, what you've spoken about. It feels almost nostalgic in the sense that so many of us, you know, love to get out and about, and it's a big part of what it means to be a human being, the ability to experience other cultures and places and people. Mm-hmm. When you look at this year and you look at the sort of the long-term implications of what you think it might mean to you as a business, to you and your husband as a team. I mean, let's finish there in terms of actually that thinking about what comes next.
So our strategy has been to simplify the business. We've had to do that, and to just double down on what it is that we do best. So when I look back at what we were attempting to do back in January, all the projects we had, all the periphery stuff that has now just gone, I think, wow, we can just make the things that people really value us in their lives for better by complete and utter focus. And that is very empowering for the team because it makes decision making extremely easy. Mm-hmm. It means we can focus all our scarce resource on doing what really makes a difference. And it becomes, you know, the prioritization becomes easy.
And for the traveler, I mean, that I get that for you as a business, you're going to become a tighter ship. It's going to be very focused. But in terms of the experience of travel, where, you know, it's still in recent memory, very much as you say, you know, very evocatively recalled it, you know, you could just get on a plane, go anywhere, do anything. I mean, where in a world where we've got more used to restrictions, less able to move, in terms of the near future, in terms of the future you're preparing for, in terms of your market, how do you see it? How do you see the future of the traveler?
I think, you know, never before has it been more important to be there for our members when they wanted to cancel, amend. You know, it's a very personal thing, travel. And, you know, coming back to the dating agency and my mother, you know, we want to be that matchmaker between someone and their perfect stay away. And, you know, of course, technology can enable that. And we're, you know, we're making great strides, that like every business is, on the technology side. But I think that it's also important to have the human side to the business. And that support and that member support that we've been giving so far and will continue to do in the future is going to be critical, because people will feel, you know, it'll take some time for people to feel confident in traveling again. They will need more information. And we'll be there to guide them.
Oh, Tamara, we could go on. But unfortunately, we have to bring this fantastic conversation to an end. And I suppose there you go. You know, travel. You've spoken about it in those romantic ways, the matchmaker. And it reminded me there of the song, Love and Marriage Goes Together Like a Horse and Carriage. Very much that kind of, well, or do they? Well, that I guess, is for the guests, for the listeners to take their view on. But like all great holidays, in the end, it does come time to check out, as indeed it's time to check out for this episode. So a big thank you there to Tamara Lawn of Mr. and Mrs.
Thank
Smith.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, Tamara. And do join me next time for more five-star guests on The Changemakers.